Good evening, dear ones, and welcome to our midweek church service on this Wednesday of the 15th of April, 2015. Welcome to those that are on the phone, and also welcome to those that are listening to the recording of tonight's service. Our opening song for this evening is entitled, Revive Us Again. And the lyrics can be found in our home church section under Music and Hymns. And the actual link is lightministries.com/ID1922.htm. So revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love. For Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who hath borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the God of all grace, who has bought us and sought us and guided our ways. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. And praise God for reviving us, because without His Spirit being sent to us to give us an increase in spiritual life and earnestness and devotion, we'd all die a hopeless death. Praise His name indeed for His merciful kindness in reviving us and keeping us alive. It's now time for our opening prayer, and so if you please bow your heads and your knees if possible as we come before our Father to His throne. Our dear Heavenly Father, we praise Thy holy name for Your tender love and merciful kindness, for reviving our life and allowing us to live in Christ Jesus. I pray, dear Father, that You'll be here in our midst. We pray that the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit will be here as well. Take control of this meeting. Take control of our hearts. And please open our understanding to comprehend greater truths and obtain larger insights into Thy Word tonight. Please be with all of those that have requested prayer, those that we said we would pray for, those that are in need, those who have silent prayer requests. And thank you, Father, for hearing each one and answering according to thy perfect will, especially in comforting their hearts and letting them know that you are in control and that in thee they can truly find rest. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being here in our midst. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So welcome, dear ones, and let us get into our study for this evening. We're continuing in the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 3, and we left off at verse 13. And Paul was saying last time before we stopped that because of Jesus and the Father sending him, then because of his great love for us, we can have boldness to come before his throne in any time of need through Jesus, who is our connecting link. And that we don't have to worry about this because we can with confidence come before him and he will not turn us away. So that's where we left off, and now we pick it up at verse 13 of chapter 3. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So Paul here, because of all the things that had and were happening to him, wanted to encourage the Ephesians and the other Gentile converted churches that they didn't have to fear and they didn't have to worry that all of these things would be happening to them. Because Paul was bearing the burden for them, in other words. He was very active in preaching the truth, and so the weapons of the enemy were more focused at him than they were at others whose responsibilities were not so away from home. And so he says, don't faint, don't become troubled because of all the tribulations that I'm going through, because I'm willing to jeopardize my life for you, that the truth can become your prized possession and with it the Savior and thus have eternal life. So because I'm doing all of these things for you, that is your glory. And you know, dear ones, Christ tells us to count the cost. And he tells us to do so because he wants us to come in to accepting the gospel with our eyes open, knowing that we're not going to obtain the kingdom of heaven except through tribulation. But Christ tells us that no matter where we are, even to the ends of the earth, Christ will be with us to help us, to bear our burdens and to strengthen us to endure and to hold fast. But we will encounter tribulations, and some more than others. But heaven will be worth it all. We're on this earth till 70, 80 years old. So even if we suffered every single day of our 70 or 80 years of life, what is that compared to eternity without suffering? It's like a drop of water in the entire ocean. So the afflictions we go through now will be light compared to eternity without them. And just because you see some that are suffering more than others, don't become fearful. Don't faint or give up the warfare, but continue forward. So each and every one of us are going to enter through tribulation and trials and persecutions in varied ways and in different intensities. And this leads us not to trust in ourselves or to trust in others or to trust in any church, but instead to trust in the Lord, who we can flee to as a fortress against the enemy, and he will indeed protect us. So Paul, here in verse 13, tells the Ephesians that don't faint because of all I'm going through on your behalf, because it is for your glory. I'm doing this for your benefit. Verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, or the inner person. So Paul here just got done mentioning the tribulations that he was going through, and that he was encouraging the church not to faint because of everything he's enduring. And Paul then says that he bows his knees unto the Father of Jesus so that he would grant the Ephesians, and since this letter also includes us, that he would grant us all to be strengthened with might or divine power by his Spirit in our inner person, in our hearts, our minds. So Paul recognized that some are not as strong as others, that some are more tempted to borrow trouble about the future. And they say, you know, I can't endure a lot of pain, and I can't endure a lot of stress and trial. I'm just not that strong. And so Paul then encourages just those type of people, especially those, to look up to the Father. Because the Father will be able to strengthen you by his Spirit to where you can do mighty things, more mighty than what you imagine you could do. And he'll give you the grace and the strength to endure more than you think you can. So then our faith and our hope and our trust is not to be in self, what we can or cannot endure, but it's to be placed in Jesus and ultimately in the Father, because he will be able to strengthen you in your innermost person to endure everything for his sake. So, dear ones, you have nothing to worry about, even if your sensitivity to pain is very low. You have nothing to worry about. Some say that they would never be able to be burned at the stake like a lot of the reformers were during the Dark Ages. Because they recognize that their tolerance of pain is very low. Their threshold is very fragile. They can't endure a lot. But I remember reading in Fox's Book of Martyrs that there was one particular individual that the Inquisition had caught, and he refused to recant his Protestant faith, and so he was going to be burnt at the stake. And so his friends came to see him, and they said, you know, there's no way I could ever endure being burnt at the stake. I just can't imagine the amount of pain, and I just wouldn't be able to do it. So there's no way I could stand for my faith without giving it up, because I'm so fearful of the pain. And so this particular man that was to go to the stake said, you know, I will let you know what pain I feel. And he said, the sign that I will give you if I feel no pain is that I will raise my hand, raise my arm straight up, and you'll know that I'm not feeling a single thing, even though my body is being burnt. But if I keep both my arms down, then you know that I'm suffering through a lot of pain. So they said, okay, all right. So the day came when he was taken to the stake. The fire was lit, and his friends were in the audience watching intensely. And for 15 minutes, their friend was burning at the stake, and he was not raising his arms. And so they were saying, oh my, he must be enduring through a lot. There's no way that I could endure through that. And just before their friend died, he raised his arm, and they saw it. They then recognized that he didn't raise his arm right at the very beginning, but he raised his arm right at the end of his life, so that they could know without a doubt that he had not felt any of the pain being burnt at the stake. Christ had bore that pain for him. They then recognized that in faith, Christ would do the same for them. And thus they had nothing to fear from the pain. They could truly stand for Christ, stand for the faith, regardless of the cost, even if it cost them their lives. And they didn't have to worry about not being able to endure. So Paul here tells and admonishes the believers to faint not because of tribulations that you see others going through. Because if you look to the Father, He will give you all the grace and the strength you need to endure. And this strength will be in your inmost soul. And thus you'll be able to stand for Him and give Him glory. The same holds true today, dear ones. So you have nothing to fear. Christ will be with you, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. Even to the end, He'll be with you. So you have nothing to fear. Just keep looking away from self unto Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. Are there any comments or thoughts or questions before we continue? Amen. perfect love does cast out all fear. Continuing, that Christ, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the, and length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So if you look up in faith and not trust in what your feelings are telling you or your emotions are leading you to do, but if you look up to Christ in faith, then you will be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in your inmost soul, and Christ will indeed dwell in your hearts, and you will become rooted and grounded in love. Love for who? Most importantly, love for God and Christ. So what does the Holy Spirit do within us? He comforts us, removing our fear and giving us courage. He strengthens us to where we can stand for God and confess Him. He plants Christ in our hearts, and then He roots and grounds us in love. Knowledge of God and Christ's love for us, but also our love for God and Christ. And once we're grounded in this love, meaning we understand it without a doubt, then we'll be able to comprehend more and more the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of this love. And it will even pass our ability to explain it and comprehend it, but we will just know it. And we will be filled with all the fullness of God. Because God is love. 1 John 4:8. That's what the Spirit does in us. It allows us to experience the reality of the gospel. God's love for fallen mankind. Christ's love for fallen mankind. The Spirit makes it a reality within us. But dear ones, we have to go to God, and He will then bless us with the Spirit. And we will be able to know more and more of this divine love of God for us, and thus be filled with God, filled with love. And this love will not just be of us to God, but it will also be God to us and God through us to others. But there's no possible way you can share the love of God with others without first experiencing it yourself, without first having it in your heart. And if you're filled with the fullness of God and His love, then you'll be able to overflow this love of God to others. You'll be able to empty yourself so that you may be filled with even more that you can then in turn share with others. So it's a continuous process. And all of this is possible because of Jesus Christ. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? It's our Father. So when you come to God and you ask him to help you, he will do even more than help you, because he knows exactly what you need, even though you don't know. And God will work in you through the Spirit. That power which worketh in us, so that we might be able to give glory to God in the church, among your fellow brothers and sisters, all because of Christ. So when you ask God, increase my faith, do you think God is going to send a messenger to your door with a package marked faith and you open it up and now your faith is increased? Do you think God gives it to you as a gift in that way? Amen. He will give you trials, forcing you to look up, forcing you to trust in him for help and relief. And thus, your faith is increased. You didn't ask for the trials. You asked for your faith to be increased. And God knew just exactly how to do it above what you had asked or thought. And now your faith is increased. It's just like exercise. If your arm muscles are weak, you can pray all day long for God to increase your strength. And it's not going to miraculously happen. You have to exercise those arms in order for your strength to increase. So it's the same thing with faith. The faith had to be exercised in order to increase. And that's why the trials came, forcing you to exercise. And now your faith is stronger. So, dear ones, trials are not a curse. Trials are a blessing. But it all depends on where your focus is. If your focus is on the trial and not on God, then you're going to be most miserable. If your focus is on yourself instead of God, you're also going to be most miserable. But if your focus is on God, away from self and away from the trial, then your faith is going to be increased, and you will come through that trial victorious in Christ that strengthened you. So without trials, there's no way you're going to make it to heaven, because your faith will not be built up to the point that you can endure, that you can look unto him, the author and finisher of your faith, the beginning of your faith and the maturing of your faith. But you have to look to Him. There's no way you can obtain the faith that will gain for you eternity by looking at yourself, or by looking at the world, or by looking at others, even the church. You have to look up in order to live. If you look down, it's death. Paul recognized this, and that's why he said that he glories in tribulation, because he knows that tribulation is working in him salvation. And that's why Paul was encouraging the Ephesians to don't faint at the tribulations. Don't give up, but instead look up. And you will be strengthened with all might to endure. Because the Father will send you His Spirit that will comfort you, encourage you, and strengthen you to be victorious. And one way the Spirit does this is to open your understanding to the fact that God loves you. And He loves you with such a full, deep, immense, unfathomable love that you know without a doubt, though you may not be able to explain it, but you know without a doubt that this is exactly what you need in order to be saved. So where's your focus? Is it on the trial? You're going to lose. Is it on yourself? You're going to lose. Is it on Christ? Then you're going to gain the victory. Nothing can separate you from the love of God except your own choice. There's no trial that can separate you from God's love. There's no torture. There's no experience. There's no situation or circumstance that can separate you from God's love. The only thing that separates you from His love is your choice to look away from Him. So look up, that you can live, that you can gain the victory, that you can know the love of God for you, and understand that His love would not allow anything to come your way except that it was necessary for your salvation. And when you recognize that, because the Spirit has filled you with this knowledge of God's love, then you can truly give glory to God among your fellow brothers and sisters because of these trials. And thus others can also know that it was because of the Spirit being sent to you in faith that you were able to gain the victory. Because your eyesight was fixed on God. So if you truly want to know that God is able to fill you to such an extent with His love that you will be willing to endure anything for His grace, His strength, His truth, His cause, then look up and you will have it. Amen. God is the source of perfect love, and without God, there would be no love. And amen. Lots of times a lot of good comes out of trials. So the devil meant the trials to discourage us. But God allows the trials to instead encourage us by forcing us to look up, to find our strength to endure. You can't find the strength in another human. You can't find it in yourself, and you can't find it in the world or the church or anywhere else. You can only find it in Jesus. So look up that you may truly live, is my prayer. Are there any comments or thoughts or questions, dear ones? Please feel free. And there's a comment in the room that says, sometimes I get comforted when I share my trials that I'm going through with another person, and the other person who I tell of my trial gives me comfort. And that is true, and we are to comfort one another, and we are to encourage and to hold up one another. But human beings can fail us. But God never will. And the greatest comfort that you can obtain is by going to God, and He will indeed give you, in addition to the comfort, strength to endure. And you cannot find that in any other person. So while it's okay to go to one another for help and encouragement, we can't depend on that alone to get us through. Because instead of looking up, we'd be looking straight across. And we do not find the strength to endure unto eternal life by looking straight across at other human beings. We have to look up. And we will never be disappointed by doing so.
Along those lines, looking up, when trials come our way and we look up to God for the answers and we ask God for the answers, He still is a God of miracles and does answer us. My friend Jake is a good example. They found out today that they can take care of his aneurysm that they just found. Nobody knew about it, but he'd had some symptoms that could have been symptoms from a number of things. And we took it to God. Elder Rob had prayer with me over the phone, and we left it in the hands of the great physician. And this aneurysm was very large, and it seemed ready to give way. And the doctor said today that they can do this procedure if they can find the right size of the stent, and it can be done local. And we just praise God for that, for finding that he had this condition that nobody knew about and found it just in time because God knew all about it and God answered our prayers. And thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you, God, indeed. And makes me want to sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen indeed. And thank you for letting us know the good news. And we'll continue to keep Jake in prayer and the family, and especially for the Lord to work on their hearts and to lead them to understand the love of God for them. Well, dear ones, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And any that would like to pray, please feel free to go ahead and do so, and I'll pray last. So please feel free.
Dear Father in Heaven, just want to say thank you for the fact that we can have this Wednesday night meeting and come together and praise you and learn more about you. We don't know love until we know you, and that takes some study, and it is a wonderful study. And thank you, Lord, for never changing, for always being the same, for being a God of miracles today, just as you were back 2,000 years ago. And we pray that you will open up our hearts to all of the love that you want to give us, and not just be happy with a portion of it. Give us the Spirit to open up all truth and encourage us to study more about you and to know you to the fullest. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayers, for watching over Jake, for talking to the doctors and allowing them to see this problem. Thank you for Elder Rob and Elder Rob's family, that they love you too and are willing to give this love freely to all those around. And we want to pray in Jesus' name and thank Him for His great sacrifice, which we cannot even fathom what He must have gone through, but He did it for us. There is that perfect love again. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Our dear beloved Heavenly Father, we pray that you will continue to shower us with thy Spirit, and please, Spirit, indeed work within us a transformation. Help us to comprehend more of this amazing love of our Father for us and of Christ for us. Increase our capacity to understand and indeed fill us with all the fullness of God. Help us to indeed represent our loving Father to others, so that they may know and understand that He is a part of us, and we are His followers, His children. And enlarge their capacity and curiosity to want to know and to understand for themselves, so that they too can be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, we thank you and praise thy holy name for still being a miracle-working God. Thank you for working miracles on our hearts and changing us from stone to flesh, And thank you so much for hearing and answering our prayers according to thy perfect will. Father, we thank you that this world is being filled with thy glory, with the knowledge of the plan of salvation and your infinite love for this fallen race. And thank you that we're one day closer to going home with thee. Please be with us and continue, Father, to work in our lives, to strengthen and encourage us, and to increase our faith so that we will not be lost, but will instead be saved. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. And thank you for the miracles that you are still doing today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Older ones, are there any other thoughts or comments or questions, any songs that you'd like to sing or testimonies that you'd like to give? Now, please feel free to do so.
I was thinking of Psalms 23, and I know part of it, the way it goes. It's put to an old Scottish tune. It goes, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He maketh me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me, the quiet waters by." That's all I know of it. It goes on with the rest of it, but it's a pretty little tune, and the 23rd Psalms is a great Psalms to claim.
Amen. Yeah, it's been a long time since I heard that particular tune sung to Psalms 23, but I know Psalms 23 in a different tune, so let me sing that for you. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. In green pastures he leadeth me, beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever." Psalms 23:1-6. So looking unto God, He will fill us to overflowing with oil, the Holy Spirit, and thus we'll be able to understand the love of God and be filled with His fullness to be able to share with others our merciful, kind, loving, compassionate Father. So keep looking up, dear ones, because that is where you find your strength to endure. So may God bless, dear ones. Keep looking up. Keep moving forward. Don't lose faith and don't faint.